at your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Are back. Hey, having a great time today. Had a wonderful first hour. Lots of questions, lots of interesting things happening around St. Louis. Want to welcome the 97.1 FM Talk crowd into the conversation. And hey, guys, you can get a hold of me too. So for everybody out there, both sides, we've got one line, one number to find me. 314-436-7900 is where you want to get in on that and get your questions, anything going on. Love how this whole premise works, and I love the fact that we can get the 97.1 listeners back in on a little call and answer format for them. So it's been a while since we've done it on that side, at least a couple years or so. So like I said, you can find me 314-436-7900. And, you know, a lot of things happening around our industry, around this, you know, the remodeling industry and everything we do. We've got a new thing that some regulations that are being put out in hopes, you know, of helping with just all of those spam calls, the robocalls, you know, and all of that. There's, you know, there's so many unwanted, like, robo-text and robocalls and all of that. I even get, like, you know, my mother asks me all the time about the text that she gets from her Amazon account and how there's something wrong with it and she should go here and that somebody bought something that they shouldn't. And I have to just constantly remind her, just delete it. You don't have an Amazon account. So she's like, well, do you think someone created one, you know, with my information? Nope, I sure don't. I think they're just hoping that you're one of, you know, 99% of the population that has one and they want to get your information. But so, you know, coming up with some of these new regulations to try and, you know, hold some of that stuff back and for, you know, our industry in remodeling and all that, you know, you've got all these websites and stuff that, you know, kind of track, like, what are you searching and, you know, different things like that. And they, you know, gather information. So they've started this new regulation with the FCC that, you know, when they have these, when you're on these websites or whatever, and they are, you know, gathering information like that, that they have to ask your, like, individual permission, you know, for a third party to actually try and contact you. So I don't know how it's going to work yet, but I'm guessing that when you're looking at some of these, like, foundation company searches or remodeling searches and things like that, and your information's getting out there, any of these companies that try and, you know, gather that information and make these just random calls, you know, to try and get to people, they'll have to actually ask for information, you know, and ask that, is it okay that somebody tries to call you? And for our industry, in remodeling and repair and all of that, they're basically saying, you know, this is going to kind of hurt more of the smaller businesses, mom and pop shops and stuff that use some of this information and still do these, you know, calls like that, that it may, you know, take away some of the business from them. But for, you know, a company like Mosby Building Arts, we don't do any of that. We don't make those phone calls. We're not just, you know, when we're calling people, it's our client list. It's people we've worked with. It's different things like that. So, you know, not much on us, but definitely glad to hear that they're at least trying to get a handle, you know, on some of this for the general public out there. So, hey, we've got Gretchen on the line. So let's get to Gretchen and see what's going on. Hey, Gretchen, can you hear me?
Oh, I sure can. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. Thank you, Rich. I have two questions. They're plumbing questions. The first one, it's for a 60-year-old house, and there's a master bedroom and a hall bathroom, and they're adjoined. And there's like when my stepdaughter lives there, I don't live there, she takes a shower, and she finds water on the basement floor. And we had a plumber come in, and he said that, you know, it's a tile on the wall, you know, a 60-year-old white tile. It's pretty. He said we should remove the plumbing is bad. That's why the leak, I guess, is going into the basement when she takes a shower. And he said we could get a green board, which would be about $2,000, you know, ballpark figure, or a shower liner would be $4,000, between $4,000 and $5,000, a ballpark figure. And he said the tile, only the tile would be removed. You know, it's just where the plumbing is, you know, the two tub faucets in the shower fixture.
Yeah.
And we could keep the original white tile, which is still pretty good, I mean, for a 60-year-old house. Does that sound like a good estimation about how to do it? And who should I go to? Should I just go to a plumber or, you know, what do I do? What do you think of this?
So basically what you're saying is they're only going to take out enough tile in the area of the plumbing to do the plumbing repairs, and then they're going to patch back and patch back the tile.
Yeah, with a green – no, they're not. They're going to put a green board, whatever that is. It's waterproof, and they'll – I don't know if they're going to put tile back on the green board, but, you know, they'll have to – change the plumbing. I don't know if is it the plumbing upstairs or is it the plumbing downstairs or I don't know what he just said the plumbing is bad. It's a 60-year-old house and that's why it's.
Yep.
And then where I live, I have an even older house, and in my bathroom, I don't use the shower, but I use the tub, and my pipes downstairs right by my washer, and I thought I had a washer water leak, but apparently I put a little square bucket where the water from my tub drains into this bucket. So, will the plumbing downstairs have to be replaced, or would the plumbing upstairs? That's the second question. So I don't know. I don't know anything about plumbing, and I don't know who to go to. Or should I go to a grout person or a plumbing person? I mean, I really don't know.
Well, yeah, and it's your daughter's place where they know they need to open up the wall to get to the plumbing that's leaking.
Yeah.
Doing that patchwork and everything back, if you're dealing with a plumber, I'm guessing they probably don't do the tile, or if they do, they'll bring in a separate person, a separate entity, a separate company that actually does the tile work, which is good. You know, finding somebody that can handle the whole project, is a good thing, just so that you don't have to worry about. And the biggest thing I would say is know and understand, you know, what they're going to do too. Like, do they make a whole scope of work? Does it say they're repairing the tile or not? You know, sometimes expectations just don't get set through the work scope, and people, you know, think, well, if we went up to $4,000, I think he's fixing the tile too, but maybe they're not. So, you know, make sure you understand and ask a lot of questions, all of that type of stuff. But I would definitely, you know, green board, if they're talking about the green board drywall.
Brad, he said it's waterproof.
That's not really waterproof, and that is not a good backer for ceramic tile.
Uh-huh.
If water starts getting through there, it's water. It's more like the difference between water resistant and waterproof, you know. So definitely I would go to a better patch or a better backer type board behind there, putting tile on it. But if it's patchwork and you're kind of tying into the existing area and everything, it's really only going to be so good. So the better product is only going to be a better product, you know, right where you have it, which is okay. But the best product possible to keep that, you know, water from getting, what if it does start to get through the grout or behind that tile, to not destroy, you know, that board. So that green board will go bad if you start getting water back there if it's ceramic tile. We only use that green board stuff when it's like a full sheet, like when your tile covers the whole wall and you're only caulking the corners. It works pretty well that way. So for hers, I would definitely look at going to the better backing, but I would definitely recommend, make sure you got a company that can complete all of the mission, or know what they're not doing, know what that expense is going to be, and then find, you know, because you may need to find a tile guy to repair the tile after that plumber's done.
Yeah, well, on that particular, see, I had the plumber, a reputable plumber, come in, you know, because we had a slow drain, and in the meantime, my stepdaughter told him about this problem. She was worried that because of the water leakage, the tub would collapse. Well, he said it's not that bad, but, but he said we could keep the regular tile. See, the tile against the wall will keep. The only tile he would take off is, it's a smaller, I'm trying to, it's like a right angle, you know, the area with this drywall or green board or whatever it is. And see, he said I had to call the company and they would send out a guy to give me an estimate. But then he said that would be, we thought a shower liner would be better because that doesn't take the tile off. It just covers the whole thing so that the water wouldn't leak down in the basement. They don't take the, have a good plumber come out, call your company and have somebody. Could you recommend someone to come out and give me a bid on things?
Yes, we definitely can, because this, everything you're talking about is something that Mosby Building Arts can figure out and handle. And we have licensed plumbers also. So we have people that can do all of the steps for all of that. So I would definitely recommend, you know, having some more conversations, seeing it on site, and really seeing what they're recommending and everything. So we can definitely do that. If you call our office, we'd be more than happy to come out and take a look at that one. And yours on the bathtub, usually on a bathtub, the drain down there, everything's pretty much done, you know, under in the basement, and you've just got the one area where you hook up, you know, the drain to the overflow and everything that's kind of inside the wall. But they can usually get to that and get that hooked up without tearing walls apart and things like that. So your plumbing, if it's an unfinished basement on your bathtub, should be able to be done from underneath.
Right, but the problem is my washer is right where I thought I had a washer leak, you know, because of the hoses and stuff, but then I put this little square bucket up there, and that water's coming from the bathtub, you know, when I take the bath. When it drains, you know, it's draining down there. So if he moves my washer, is he the guy? What if my, you know, you have to put the washer in there. It hasn't moved since 1988, and, you know, if he doesn't put it in the right place, it won't, you know, it has to be leveled and everything. Would he be the... But I have to get somebody else to come out and fix my washer, because I know he's going to have to move it to fix it.
I would think a licensed plumber should be able to move the washer out of the way and put it back and make sure it's level and all of that. Shouldn't be a problem for a good licensed plumber. So your plumber might be great for you on yours, and you've got a little bigger thing with your daughters. But Gretchen, I got to get into a break here. I appreciate the call and the conversation. Hopefully it was helpful. And for everybody, we've got plenty, plenty more to come. 314-436-7900. More to come when we return. All right, we are back. Lots happening today. Some great conversations, great questions. Remember, you can reach me, 314-436-7900, and we've got Ed on the line here, has a question for us. Ed, are you there? Oh, we lost Ed? Oh, we lost Ed. So, all right, no problem whatsoever. We've got so much going on, and you know, with some great questions, our time's kind of fallen off here a bit, but so we'll be getting to a break pretty soon anyways. But if you have anything for me, again, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Same numbers for the 97.1 side and the KMOX side. Give me a call. Anything you got going on, love to help you out. But, you know, talking with Gretchen and talking about, you know, just different companies out there and how work is performed and how work is done, and, you know, really trying to know and understand, you know, what is going to happen with your job and everything. You really need to, one, make sure that you get a great understanding. You don't have to have, you know, one company that can do absolutely everything. And sometimes it can be a little bit of a money saver if you find your own flooring guy, find your own carpenter, you know, find your own plumber, and you piece all this stuff together. It can, you know, if you're a good manager, it could be a good money saving opportunity. But you gotta really knowing and understanding, you know, what is everything? Is there a really called out, you know, scope of work that says, yes, we are fixing the tile, or this is what we're using, what are the products, different things like that, to really set great expectations and understand, you know, what you've got going on is really of ultimate importance. And one of the biggest things I see in our industry of people just not, you know, understanding everything and just not knowing that, you know, I didn't know what to expect. You know, I thought I understood all this, and now that it's done, you know, they weren't fixing the tile and I had to find a tile guy, and we went, you know, and I didn't know. And it's just can be so hard and frustrating, you know, for the consumer, for the person getting the work done, and they're like, I just want it done, and I need somebody I can trust, and, you know, how do you get to that, and everything is just a really, you know, really large concern. So, you know, gather all the information that you can so that you understand. That's my biggest piece of advice for everybody out there. We got George on the line. Let's jump to George real quick and see what he's got going on. George, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I am. I'm here, yes.
All right.
Okay. I've started tearing out a bathroom. And
okay.
I have cast iron tub and plaster walls. So I've got the tub out, and there's a lot of, I got the wall out. Everything's really pretty well destroyed, hauled off. My question is, I noticed that the bathtub, in the faucet area, it had a lot of leakage, very wet. Even the bottom plate on the wall is disturbingly wet. And I'm wondering, what is the best way? Just keep it open and fan and try to dry it? And then on the wall there, the insulation, this is a 1957 model house. There's only about 2 inches of insulation, fiberglass. I'm thinking about putting some half-inch styrofoam with the aluminum face. Would that be? I don't want to trap moisture. So I'm getting, leave me a little advice on that. And then on the floor, I'm going to cut out a 4x8 floor, the subfloor, and I'm thinking of putting a treated three-quarter flooring subfloor there. How's that sound?
So yeah, the flooring definitely, you know, sounds great to get another, you know, layer in a thick layer of subfloor. Now you'll still need, you know, some sort of backer for the tile that's going to go in. You don't want to put the tile right on that treated plywood, but, you know, you'll definitely have a backer again and your tile, but that will definitely stiffen up the floor for sure. For the moisture and the leaking and that, yeah, you just need time to dry that out, you know, warming the room up, running a fan all the time, you know, keeping air circulating, and just really, you know, I'd almost go so far as to rent a moisture meter, you know, and kind of stick it in the wood there and see what the moisture content, because sometimes it can seem like it's pretty dry, but you're really only feeling, so, you know, you're feeling the surface, and you put a moisture meter on there, you still might have, you know, 30% moisture inside that bottom plate of that wall, you know, so getting that to dry out, just circulation, air movement, heat, that sort of thing is going to work well for that. So on your insulation, you said 2 inches. So how thick is the actual wall itself? Is it a 2x4 on the framing there? Oh, I think we lost George. So George, on the wall, you said 2 inches of fiberglass. So in thinking about putting a foam there, like a sheet, I would probably guide you more towards actually filling that with like a spray foam insulation, something that will air seal at the same time and give you, you know, a good higher value. You get a higher value of the insulation R value out of that spray foam, and you'll get air sealing ability. When you put that styrofoam panel, it's not going to have a lot of R rating, and it's going to be really hard to seal it really well. And then like your suspicion you were worried about was, does that cause, you know, condensation if the wall starts trying to breathe and stuff like that? It can. So if you seal that wall off with spray foam and fill that up, then you're only, you know, you don't have to worry about that as much, because it's 100% kind of sealed, and you won't get so much air and stuff in there that can cause the moisture, the condensation, and all of that. So that's what I'd recommend in that wall.
Mm-hmm. Do they have a do-it-yourself approach on that?
They do. You can actually buy kits at, you know, the big box hardware stores and spray that stuff in yourself. The kits only go so far, but in a bathroom, especially if it's like 5x8, you might only need a couple of them, you know, to do that wall or whatever. And it'll say about how far it'll go and how thick, you know, it can be or whatever. And sometimes you got to spray it kind of in layers too, where you spray it on, it'll kind of swell up, and then you spray on another layer after that's set up, you know, to get the thickness all the way where you want it. But yes, that you can do that yourself.
So pull that fiberglass out and just start over.
Yep. That's what I would recommend. So, hey, George, great questions. Got to get into a break here. Tom, if you could hold on through the break, we'll get to you as soon as we return. For everybody else, 314-436-7900 finds me right here. Anything you need. More to come right after we return after this. All right, guys, we are back. Hey, got a ton going on. Time is super flying by. If you got anything for me, one number, both stations, 314-436-7900. We got Tom on the line. Let's see what Tom's got going on. Can you hear me, Tom?
Yes, I do.
Hey, thanks for calling. What's happening with you?
Okay, well, this problem has been going on for years. I mean, years. We have a stone fireplace. It's cut stone. You know, it's real irregular, the way it's, well, it's not smooth, let's put it that way.
Okay.
And it's huge. And it's, we get, our house is also plastered. Everything, walls and the ceiling are both plastered.
Okay.
We've had it repaired, oh gosh, 4 or 5 times by plasterers. And it leaks always in the same place. Had a new roof put on 3 years ago, and I'm telling the roofers, so they replaced the flashing around the fireplace on the roof.
Okay.
That didn't stop it. It still leaks in the same place. And I don't want to go in the attic and just, like, caulk or use that foamy stuff and do it from the inside. People are saying, no, don't do that. It'll trap water up there. It'll be, end up in the roof wood.
Yeah.
Make it rot. But I go up there in the attic, like today, it's sunny. And, you know, it's dark up there. And I think I look around in that spot where it's, I never see any light come through there. And I just don't know. Okay, I'm just asking you your opinion. What else can we do to try to stop it? Because now we got to get that ceiling fixed again, but I don't want to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
It's still leaking.
Yeah, so how much of, like, the ceiling wall on the inside, you know, like, how big is the water marks and the bubbling and stuff like that? And how big is that area?
It's always at the corner, the same corner.
Uh-huh.
And it goes about a good foot each way from that corner right against the stone fireplace.
Okay. And how often do you, after you fix it, how quickly does it usually come back and start showing again? Because I'm guessing you fixed it a few times.
If it's just a light rain, I don't think it does it. But if it rains hard enough, which we do get that every time,
yeah,
it leaks.
Yep, and so this stone that you're talking about, is that on the chimney on the outside of the house, that rough stone?
Well, it goes up, you know, rough stone.
Mm-hmm.
Our fireplace is, I'm going to say 18 or 20 feet long, but only part of it is the actual fireplace pit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing outside. It even extends out from the house, 3 or 4 feet. It's huge. But it's cut stone, so it's, you know, it's not like a flat brick.
Yeah.
It's real bumpy. Some of the stones are, 2 feet long. They're all different shapes and sizes. I don't know how else to explain it.
Yeah. No, and that's a good explanation, because those are definitely one harder to flash from the exterior of how you do the flashing.
I can understand that.
Put it into the stone and everything. And then with that stone, it's kind of the same as brick. Like, those stones can be very porous and let a lot of moisture into them just with driving rains hitting it and everything. And then you've got the tuck pointing portion of it, too. Is, you know, if there are any cracks, anything in the tuck pointing that's letting it in, you could have perfect flashing and have some of this moisture coming in from the cap on top, like the actual concrete, you know, on top of it, all the way down from the stone through. So it definitely takes, and then, you know, when you look at how the roof is done around it, you know, hopefully they put like ice and water shield and stuff all around this before they shingled and before they did the flashing and everything, because that'll also kind of help keep from any ice buildup, you know, because between your roof and your chimney, you get a lot of, you know, snow buildup, ice buildup. So sometimes it's not even necessarily the rain, but it's like the freezing ice growing under the shingles, you know, things like that. So, you know, that could be. So these are so complicated to fix. And then even if you redo everything and you get it 100%, it's definitely, you know, these are systems that kind of wear out. So I would say seal the chimney too. So make sure if there's any tuck pointing, do that. Seal it with a sealer. You had it sealed?
We had it re-tuck pointed.
Okay.
And then about a year later, I went up there and sprayed the waterproof seal, like you'd seal bricks.
Yep.
I did that.
Okay.
I've done that.
That's good. So taken all the steps.
I got that stuff that you, it's in a can and you spray, like the guy you see on TV that takes a screen door.
Yeah, the Flex Seal, that sort of thing. Yeah. Yep.
And I've done that, but I didn't know that they made it clear. It looked terrible when I did it.
Yeah, yeah.
So what should I buy 20 cans of that clear stuff and just start spraying everywhere?
No, I wouldn't do that because I just, you know, there's got to be something somewhere. And the other issue is sometimes just the way, if this is full masonry, block and brick and stone, and you know, and it's an old house with the plaster where it's full masonry exterior walls, sometimes you just get condensation and stuff like that that forms, that gets there, that's completely uncontrollable, and you could stop 100% of the leaks from coming in and still get enough moisture inside of a masonry system to kind of eat away at it a little bit from the inside and to get those stains, you know, on that ceiling. So, I mean, I've taken a lot of places where we fix some pretty major leaks, but you still get this condensation thing going on. It's like the leak you can never find on a full masonry chimney, they kind of call it. So, unfortunately, yeah, well, it could be a little bit of that. But Tom, hey, I got to get into a break here. I'm kind of pressed with time right up at the notch of a break. So we're going to jump into that, and we'll get into more of this stuff right after these messages. All right, guys, we are back. We got Tom held the line through the break, so appreciate you holding through that, Tom. I'm trying to help solve a chimney thing going on for you. So, Tom, are you still there?
While I was waiting, I was thinking what I have never done is, like, one person get in the attic, the other person get on the roof with a garden hose and just start spraying water where I think the leak would be.
Mm-hmm.
Have the person at least try to see exactly where it's, maybe, you know how water is, just because the leak is there doesn't mean it's starting. It could be starting 5 feet away or something.
Yeah, it definitely can, and definitely start, you know, when you try something like that, you start like right from the bottom and you work your way up, because I've seen plenty of times where, you know, you're going right at the flashing and all of that, and you're doing the bottom, you know, 8 inches foot and kind of spraying it like rain, and you never get water in, then you start to work your way up towards the top of the chimney and you find something. Oh. You know, where all of a sudden you're like, oh wait, now I got it, and you're like, well, now I'm up to here, this is what I'm seeing. But another concern is that I see sometimes is if you don't have, depending on how the roof is built, do you have like a pitched portion of the roof? We call it a cricket in the industry that guides the water around this chimney.
I have that.
You have that?
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah,
so that's good.
The chimney goes about a foot from the peak. And
yeah.
And right there, it's got, well, you call it a cricket, but it's a funny shape looking thing. Is kind of the V, and then the edges go out probably 3 or 4 inches.
Yeah, and it diverts that water, you know,
so
from running straight down. So that's a good thing. So I think your water test is what you're going to need.
Okay.
I think that's going to be your best thing, is to try and do that water test with the garden hose. Start from the bottom and just slowly work your way up, spraying for a while and see what you can find.
I have a friend that he's retired, a carpenter forever.
Uh-huh.
I was telling him about it. He says, you know what we ended up doing when we had problems like that? I go, what? He said, put a bucket where you think the leak is and just let it drip in that bucket. And he said, you don't have to go up there and empty it, because it, in a hot attic, it evaporates.
Yeah, well, if it's a slow enough leak, I could see that. It concerned me a little, having, you know, a bucket of water up in my attic. If it ever did leak so much it overflowed, you'll be in more trouble than that. So
I don't think it ever leaks
much.
It would overflow a 5 gallon. I don't. Well, maybe it does.
It could be possible.
I've never been up there when it was leaking to see it. So
water's tricky and water is suspicious. So hey, appreciate the call. Good luck, Tom, in your water test and everything. That is definitely the direction I think you should go. And let's jump over to Dan here and see what Dan's got going on. Are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you today?
I am great. How are you, Dan?
Awesome. I have two quick questions. One is a holly bush. Can I trim it back considerably? And the same thing with butterfly bushes.
So you're going to want to get with the garden hotline with Mike Miller.
Well, he was on. I thought I heard him earlier. Okay.
Yeah, no, he was on earlier. So, yeah, I'd get with him next Saturday because I'm not real good with holly bushes and that.
Well, okay, thank you.
All right. Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for the call. And Don, hey, are you there? What do you got going on?
I am. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's up?
We have a home on Kentucky Lake, and we're surrounded pretty much by timber, and we're on the lake, and the north side of the roof, it's an asphalt roof, gray color, is turned pretty much black, and I assume it's mold of some sort.
Yep.
What is the best way to get that removed so it's more pleasing to look at, and I don't want to damage the asphalt roof, obviously. Would you have a suggestion?
Yes, there are companies out there that can clean it, and there are cleaning solutions that you can use, you know, to clean that off. And you don't want to damage the roof, like you said. So no power washing, anything like that.
Right.
This is all kind of, you know, like a bug sprayer. Chemical kind of, you know, mixture of this cleaner that will just kind of wash that algae. So it's an algae is, you know, typically what it is, and it'll kind of wash that off. So it can be cleaned, and bring it back to that original luster and everything. And just depending on your circumstances, you know, where you're at, how it faces, you know, all that stuff, and how soon that comes back, you may find yourself up against it quite a bit. And if you can imagine being on your roof, you know, spraying cleaner and water and all this stuff, it's not the safest thing to do. You have to really, you know, I'd recommend harness, all that stuff.
I'm an old guy, not employed anymore, but I have grandsons I think could get up there and do that. I know you can't specifically mention products on the air, but I could get this product maybe at a Home Depot or a Lowe's to put on there.
Yes. I think you can find some algae cleaners like that. Yep, you could definitely find that at big box stores. Get the best one you can. It might take a couple tries.
Okay. Got time for one more question from me?
Very, very quick. I got exactly a minute.
Okay. I'll make it quick. We've got gutters, and I heard you talking about gutters earlier on the show. At the corners where the seams meet, we do have a few little drippy leaks there. Is there a product that we could go up and put on the surface on top without having to disconnect the gutters to put that sealer inside? Is there a compound that we could put over the top that may help seal that?
So if you can get to the inside of that gutter, you don't need to take it apart. You just need to clean that old seal. All right, guys, we are back. Hey, got a ton going on. Time is super flying by. If you got anything for me, one number, both stations, 314-436-7900. We got Tom on the line. Let's see what Tom's got going on. Can you hear me, Tom?
Yes, I do.
Hey, thanks for calling. What's happening with you?
Okay, well, this problem has been going on for years. I mean, years. We have a stone fireplace that's cut stone. You know, it's real irregular the way it's, well, it's not smooth, let's put it that way.
Okay.
And it's huge. And it's, we get, our house is also plastered. Everything, walls and the ceiling are both plastered.
Okay.
We've had it repaired, oh gosh, 4 or 5 times by plasterers. And it leaks always in the same place. Had a new roof put on 3 years ago, and I'm telling the roofers, so they replaced the flashing around the fireplace on the roof.
Okay.
And that didn't stop it. It still leaks in the same place. And I don't want to go in the attic and just, like, caulk or use that foamy stuff and do it from the inside. People are saying, no, don't do that. It'll trap water up there. It'll be, end up in the roof wood.
Yeah.
Make it rot. But I go up there in the attic, like today, it's sunny, and, you know, it's dark up there, and I think I look around in this, that spot where it's, I never see any light come through there. And I just don't know. Okay, I'm just asking you your opinion. What else can we do to try to stop it? Because now we got to get that ceiling fixed again, but I don't want to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
It's still leaking.
Yeah, so how much of, like, the ceiling wall on the inside, you know, like, how big is the water marks and the bubbling and stuff like that? And how big is that area?
It's always at the corner, the same corner.
Uh-huh.
And it goes about a good foot each way from that corner right against the stone fireplace.
Okay. And how often do you, after you fix it, how quickly does it usually come back and start showing again? Because I'm guessing you fixed it a few times.
If it's just a light rain, I don't think it does it. But if it rains hard enough, which we do get that every time,
yeah,
it'll leak.
Yep. And so this stone that you're talking about, is that on the chimney on the outside of the house, that rough stone?
Well, it goes up, you know, rough stone.
Mm-hmm.
Our fireplace is, I'm going to say 18 or 20 feet long, but only part of it is the actual fireplace,
yeah,
pit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing outside. It even extends out from the house, 3 or 4 feet. It's huge. But it's cut stone, so it's, you know, it's not like a flat brick.
Yeah.
It's real bumpy. Some of the stones are, 2 feet long. They're all different shapes and sizes. I don't know how else to explain it.
Yeah. No, and that's a good explanation, because those are definitely one harder to flash from the exterior of how you do the flashing.
I can understand that.
Put it into the stone and everything. And then with that stone, it's kind of the same as brick. Like, those stones can be very porous and let a lot of moisture into them just with driving rains hitting it and everything. And then you've got the tuck pointing portion of it too. Is, you know, if there are any cracks, anything in the tuck pointing that's letting it in, you could have perfect flashing and have some of this moisture coming in from the cap on top, like the actual concrete, you know, on top of it, all the way down from the stone through. So it definitely takes, and then, you know, when you look at how the roof is done around it, you know, hopefully they put like ice and water shield and stuff all around this before they shingled and before they did the flashing and everything, because that'll also kind of help keep from any ice buildup, you know, because between your roof and your chimney, you get a lot of, you know, snow buildup, ice buildup. So sometimes it's not even necessarily the rain, but it's like the freezing ice growing under the shingles, you know, things like that. So, you know, that could be. So these are so complicated to fix. And then even if you redo everything and you get it 100%, it's definitely, you know, these are systems that kind of wear out. So I would say seal the chimney too. So make sure if there's any tuck pointing, do that. Seal it with a sealer. You had it sealed?
We had it re-tuck pointed.
Okay.
And then about a year later, I went up there and sprayed the waterproof seal, like you'd seal bricks.
Yep.
I did that.
Okay.
I've done that.
That's good. So taken all the steps.
I got that stuff that you, it's in a can and you spray, like the guy you see on TV that takes a screen door.
Yeah, the Flex Seal, that sort of thing. Yeah. Yep.
And I've done that, but I didn't know that they made it clear. It looked terrible when I did it.
Yeah.
So, should I buy 20 cans of that clear stuff and just start spraying everywhere?
No, I wouldn't do that because I just, you know, there's got to be something somewhere. And the other issue is sometimes just the way, if this is full masonry, block and brick and stone, and you know, and it's an old house with the plaster where it's full masonry exterior walls, sometimes you just get condensation and stuff like that that forms, that gets there, that's completely uncontrollable, and you could stop 100% of the leaks from coming in and still get enough moisture inside of a masonry system to kind of eat away at it a little bit from the inside and to get those stains, you know, on that ceiling. So, I mean, I've taken a lot of places where we fix some pretty major leaks, but you still get this condensation thing going on. It's like the leak you can never find on a full masonry chimney, they kind of call it. So, unfortunately, it could be a little bit of that. But Tom, hey, I got to get into a break here. I'm kind of pressed with time right up at the notch of a break. So we're going to jump into that, and we'll get into more of this stuff right after these messages. All right, guys, we are back. We got Tom held the line through the break, so appreciate you holding through that, Tom. I'm trying to help solve a chimney thing going on for you. So, Tom, are you still there?
While I was waiting, I was thinking what I have never done is, like, one person get in the attic, the other person get on the roof with a garden hose and just start spraying water where I think the leak would be.
Mm-hmm.
Have the person at least try to see exactly where it's, maybe, you know how water is, just because the leak is there doesn't mean it's starting. It could be starting 5 feet away or something.
Yeah, it definitely can, and definitely start, you know, when you try something like that, you start like right from the bottom and you work your way up, because I've seen plenty of times where, you know, you're going right at the flashing and all of that, and you're doing the bottom, you know, 8 inches foot and kind of spraying it like rain, and you never get water in, then you start to work your way up towards the top of the chimney and you find something. Oh. You know, where all of a sudden you're like, oh wait, now I got it, and you're like, well, now I'm up to here, this is what I'm seeing. But another concern is that I see sometimes is if you don't have, depending on how the roof is built, do you have like a pitched portion of the roof? We call it a cricket in the industry that guides the water around this chimney.
I have that.
You have that? Okay, so
yeah, the
so that's good.
Goes about a foot from the peak, and then right there it's got, well, you call it a cricket, but it's a funny shaped looking thing. Is kind of a V, and then the edges go out probably 3 or 4 inches.
Yeah, and it diverts that water, you know, so from running straight down. So that's a good thing. So I think your water test is what you're going to need.
Okay.
I think that's going to be your best thing, is to try and do that water test with the garden hose. Start from the bottom and just slowly work your way up, spraying for a while and see what you can find.
I have a friend, that he's retired, a carpenter forever.
Uh-huh.
I was telling him about it. He says, you know what we ended up doing when we had problems like that? I go, what? He said, put a bucket where you think the leak is and just let it drip in that bucket. And he said, you don't have to go up there and empty it, because it, in a hot attic, it evaporates.
Yeah, well, if it's a slow enough leak, I could see that. It concerned me a little, having, you know, a bucket of water up in my attic. If it ever did leak so much it overflowed, you'll be in more trouble than that. So
I don't think it ever leaks much. It would overflow a 5 gallon. I don't. Well, maybe it does.
It could be possible.
I've never been up there when it was leaking to see it. So
water's tricky and water is suspicious. So hey, appreciate the call. Good luck, Tom, in your water test and everything. That is definitely the direction I think you should go. And let's jump over to Dan here and see what Dan's got going on. Are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you today?
I am great. How are you, Dan?
Awesome. I have two quick questions. One is a holly bush. Can I trim it back
considerably, and the same thing with butterfly bushes.
So you're going to want to get with the garden hotline with Mike Miller.
Well, he was on. I thought I heard him earlier. Okay.
Yeah, no, he was on earlier. So, yeah, I'd get with him next Saturday because I'm not real good with holly bushes and that.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for the call. And Don, hey, are you there? What do you got going on?
I am. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's up?
We have a home on Kentucky Lake, and we're surrounded pretty much by timber, and we're on the lake, and the north side of the roof, it's an asphalt roof, gray color, is turned pretty much black, and I assume it's mold of some sort.
Yep.
What is the best way to get that removed so it's more pleasing to look at? And I don't want to damage the asphalt roof, obviously. Would you have a suggestion?
Yes, there are companies out there that can clean it, and there are cleaning solutions that you can use, you know, to clean that off. And you don't want to damage the roof, like you said. So no power washing, anything like that.
Right.
This is all kind of, you know, like a bug sprayer chemical kind of, you know, mixture of this cleaner that will just kind of wash that algae. So it's an algae is, you know, typically what it is. And it'll kind of wash that off. So it can be cleaned and bring it back to that original luster and everything. And just depending on your circumstances, you know, where you're at, how it faces, you know, all that stuff, and how soon that comes back, you may find yourself up against it quite a bit. And if you can imagine being on your roof, you know, spraying cleaner and water and all this stuff, it's not the safest thing to do. You have to really, you know, I'd recommend harness, all that stuff.
I'm an old guy, not employed anymore, but I have grandsons I think could get up there and do that. I know you can't specifically mention products on the air, but I could get this product maybe at a Home Depot or a Lowe's to put on there.
Yes. I think you can find, some algae cleaners like that. Yep, you could definitely find that at big box stores. Get the best one you can. It might take a couple tries.
Okay. Got time for one more question from me?
Very, very quick. I got exactly a minute.
Okay, I'll make it quick. We've got gutters, and I heard you talking about gutters earlier on the show. At the corners where the seams meet, we do have a few little drippy leaks there. Is there a product that we could go up and put on the surface on top without having to disconnect the gutters to put that sealer inside? Is there a compound that we could put over the top that may help seal that?
So if you can get to the inside of that gutter, you don't need to take it apart. You just need to clean that old sealer out really good. Make sure the metal's completely dry, and then you can put the new gutter sealant. It's just like a caulk, a tube of caulk gutter sealant that you would put in there. So you can do that from inside the gutter, and you don't have to take the gutters apart. So good question. Great calls. Had a great time today. And hey, I look forward to talking to everybody next week. See you then. All right, guys, we are back. We got Tom held the line through the break, so appreciate you holding through that, Tom. I'm trying to help solve a chimney thing going on for you. So, Tom, are you still there?
While I was waiting, I was thinking what I have never done is, like, one person get in the attic, the other person get on the roof with a garden hose and just start spraying water where I think the leak would be.
Mm-hmm.
And have the person at least try to see exactly where it's, maybe, you know how water is, just because the leak is there doesn't mean it's starting. It could be starting 5 feet away or something.
Yeah, it definitely can, and definitely start, you know, when you try something like that, you start like right from the bottom and you work your way up? Because I've seen plenty of times where, you know, you're going right at the flashing and all of that, and you're doing the bottom, you know, 8 inches foot and kind of spraying it like rain, and you never get water in, and then you start to work your way up towards the top of the chimney and you find something, you know, where all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait, now I got it. And you're like, well, now I'm up to here. This is what I'm seeing. But another concern is that I see sometimes is if you don't have, depending on how the roof is built, do you have like a pitched portion of the roof? We call it a cricket in the industry that guides the water around this chimney.
I have that.
You have that? Okay, so
yeah,
so that's good.
The chimney goes about a foot from the peak. And then right there, it's got, well, you call it a cricket, but it's a funny shape looking thing. Is kind of at a V, and then the edges go out probably 3 or 4 inches.
Yeah, and it diverts that water, you know, so from running straight down. So that's a good thing. So I think your water test is what you're going to need.
Okay.
I think that's going to be your best thing, is to try and do that water test with the garden hose. Start from the bottom and just slowly work your way up, spraying for a while, and see what you can find.
I have a friend that he's retired, a carpenter forever.
Uh-huh.
I was telling him about it. He says, you know what we ended up doing when we had problems like that? I go, what? He said, put a bucket where you think the leak is and just let it drip in that bucket. And he said, you don't have to go up there and empty it, because in a hot attic, it evaporates.
Yeah, well, if it's a slow enough leak, I could see that. It concerned me a little, having, you know, a bucket of water up in my attic. If it ever did leak so much it overflowed, you'll be in more trouble than that. So
I don't think it ever leaks much. It would overflow a 5 gallon. I don't. Well, maybe it does.
It could be possible.
I've never been up there when it was leaking to see it. So
water's tricky and water is suspicious. So hey, I appreciate the call. Good luck, Tom, in your water test and everything. That is definitely the direction I think you should go. And let's jump over to Dan here and see what Dan's got going on. Are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you today?
I am great. How are you, Dan?
Awesome. I have two quick questions. One is a holly bush. Can I trim it back considerably? And the same thing with butterfly bushes.
So you're going to want to get with the garden hotline with Mike Miller.
Well, he was on. I thought I heard him earlier. Okay.
Yeah, no, he was on earlier. So yeah, I'd get with him next Saturday, because I'm not real good with holly bushes and that.
Well, okay, thank you.
All right, hey, you're welcome. Thanks for the call. And Don, hey, are you there? What do you got going on?
I am. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's up?
We have a home on Kentucky Lake, and we're surrounded pretty much by timber, and we're on the lake, and the north side of the roof, it's an asphalt roof, gray color, is turned pretty much black, and I assume it's mold of some sort.
Yep.
What is the best way to get that removed so it's more pleasing to look at, and I don't want to damage the asphalt roof, obviously. Would you have a suggestion?
Yes, there are companies out there that can clean it, and there are cleaning solutions that you can use, you know, to clean that off. And you don't want to damage the roof, like you said, so no power washing, anything like that.
Right.
This is all kind of, you know, like a bug sprayer chemical kind of, you know, mixture of this cleaner that will just kind of wash that algae. So it's an algae is, you know, typically what it is, and it'll kind of wash that off. So it can be cleaned and bring it back to that original luster and everything. And just depending on your circumstances, you know, where you're at, how it faces, you know, all that stuff, and how soon that comes back, you may find yourself up against it quite a bit. And if you can imagine being on your roof, you know, spraying cleaner and water and all this stuff, it's not the safest thing to do. You have to really, you know, I'd recommend
harness
all that stuff.
I'm an old guy, not employed anymore, but I have grandsons I think could get up there and do that. I know you can't specifically mention products on the air, but I could get this product maybe at a Home Depot or a Lowe's to put on there.
Yes. I think you can find, some algae cleaners like that. Yep, you could definitely find that at big box stores. Get the best one you can. It might take a couple tries.
Okay. Got time for one more question from me?
Very, very quick. I got exactly a minute.
Okay, I'll make it quick. We've got gutters, and I heard you talking about gutters earlier on the show. At the corners where the seams meet, we do have a few little drippy leaks there. Is there a product that we could go up and put on the surface on top without having to disconnect the gutters to put that sealer inside? Is there a compound that we could put over the top that may help seal that?
So if you can get to the inside of that gutter, you don't need to take it apart. You just need to clean that old sealer out really good. Make sure the metal's completely dry, and then you can put the new gutter sealant. It's just like a caulk, a tube of caulk gutter sealant that you would put in there. So you can do that from inside the gutter, and you don't have to take the gutters apart. So good question. Great calls. Had a great time today. And hey, I look forward to talking to everybody next week. See you then.